I'm delighted to say that my tea break guest this afternoon is Reigate author and now novelist John Hughes. John, welcome to Suzy 103.4.
Good afternoon. Pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you here, and let's jump straight into the topic of your newly published novel, Spitfire Spies, John. You're quoted as saying that Fifty Shades of Grey inspired you to publish, but what inspired you to write the book?
Well, what inspired me initially, 20 years ago when I did the first draft, was this notion that the Spitfire had appealed to me as a very, very significant factor. I didn't know much about the Battle of Britain, and I was working on a magazine and had to research an article, and it became apparent to me the significance of the Spitfire. And some out of nowhere, really, I got this idea, this notion that the Germans must have seen it as a real risk. Perhaps they hadn't really anticipated that before the war. So this idea of them sending in German agents to infiltrate the factories, which is the centre, the core of the story, occurred to me, and it went on from there.
And it's a sizeable tome, John. How long did it take you to put it together?
It took me 2 years to write. On and off at weekends and when I had spare time. Then I revisited it. I tried to get it published initially but wasn't successful, so I thought I'd have another go more recently. And then I spent about a good sort of 6 to 10 months rewriting it effectively. And I think with that additional experience and knowledge I'd gained in between, it's a much better product, you know. And this time I got a publisher interested.
Did you have any authors at the back of your mind as models when you were writing?
Well, probably my favourite war adventure story is Where Eagles Dare. So, yes, Alistair MacLean, who I think is particularly good in that genre. And I'm also a great fan of John le Carré. So, you know, this business of MI5 and spies and double agents is something that I've been reading up all my life, really.
It's very much a book that you might call episodic, many, many short chapters. Was that a conscious device?
Not really, actually, no. It's just the way it flowed out. Not conscious at all. Although I'm also a fan of Peter James, a writer, crime writer, and he does quite short chapters. So there may have been a subconscious influence, but really not deliberately.
And you're quite keen on your one-liner chapter endings. Was that a conscious thing?
That was very conscious, yes, yes. And I think it's paid off, because if I've heard any feedback from anybody who's written it so far, it's been that it's a page-turner, which is a great compliment. And I think perhaps having those one-liners at the end is exactly that feeds into the next chapter nice and smoothly.
Spitfire Spies. How did you come up with the title? I mean, you've mentioned a little bit about the fifth column, but can you expand on that for us?
Well, it's a book that is about Spitfires and spies. The idea of German agents trying to get to know more about Spitfire production figures during the Battle of Britain, because they just didn't know how many we had. So these were these spies focusing on Spitfire factories. And in the novel, the Germans start to refer to these two agents as the Spitfire spies.
It certainly works. It ties in with the story. Would you say, as the novelist, your novel has a USP? Is there something specific and different about this Battle of Britain book?
Yes, I think there is, and that is that it's not specifically about the Battle of Britain. It's behind the scenes, if you like. It's about production figures in factories and whether they could sabotage them, and were the British and the Germans able to produce planes sufficiently enough to keep the battle going. There's also this very strong element of women pilots as well, which I did want to emphasise, the role that women played in this, because women flew Spitfires during the war, which again, during my research, was a complete surprise. I had no idea.
So it's fair to say then that women perhaps played a more prominent part in the Second World War than sometimes acknowledged?
Very much so, yes. I think it's more understood now, but it's been a long, long, slow burn. And one of my main characters, Alison Webb, is a female air transport auxiliary pilot. The ATA was the organisation that flew the Spitfires and other planes as well from the factories to the airfields. And they used women to do this so that it would freed up men to be able to do the actual fighting. And it was a very, very important role.
John, you mentioned the R word just now. You mentioned research. You're a Sutton Coalfield man, I believe. So the Birmingham area and the Castle Bromwich stuff came fairly naturally. Did you have to do much research? Research in the field in Germany, for example?
No, I didn't go to Germany at all. I just read lots of books. But the Sutton Coalfield influence was, well, that's where I was born and bred. I used to go past the Jaguar Cars factory at Castle Bromwich all through my childhood and early life. Had no idea that that's actually where they built Spitfires during the war. And it was a huge production unit, specially built to produce Spitfires. And I had no idea. And it was the surprise, really, of knowing that. That was one of the key elements of coming up with the story.
Now, in terms of Castle Bromwich, you actually met the late Alex Henshaw, and he features in the book.
I did, yes. I corresponded with him mainly. I wanted to get it right in terms of research, and he was extremely generous and kind and helpful, and got a lot of useful information. He was a bit concerned about a woman flying a Spitfire from his factory, but I managed to persuade him otherwise. And yes, he pops up in the book very briefly and at a distance.
And of course, you also met the late Lettice Curtis.
I did, yes. What a lady. Goodness, she was an amazing pilot. She was key in the air transport auxiliary throughout the war, and flew huge numbers of hours. And I met her and we had a very interesting conversation. One thing that came across very strongly to me was that she felt a little bit bitter after the war, that those opportunities for women pilots disappeared when they were no longer required, and opportunities for her as a pilot kind of faded after the war.
Well, they're both gone now, but clearly you had some genuine input into the fact lying behind your fiction. Can we just pursue that, John, slightly? Major historical figures occur in the novel. Kesselring, for example, is mentioned alongside Göring and the Führer. What about the leading fictional characters? Is there some basis in reality with some of them?
So it's an interesting mixture of all sorts, actually. Some of them are genuine historical characters. There's a chap in there called, well, shall I mention his name? Snow. He's an agent. He is a real character, Arthur Owens, notorious as a double agent. He pops up in the story. He was very, very real. My main characters are all entirely fictitious. Then there's another one, for example, who's a senior MI5 operative who has a completely fictitious name in the book but is based on a real character, only in terms of his position though, not him as a person. So it's a some blend of all sorts.
The realism to the reader works extremely well, I must say. And of course you move from Germany through the retreat to Dunkirk, across the Channel and all over the countryside of England. John, have you ever flown in a Spitfire?
No. Never been in one. I'd love to, but and of course the opportunity does arise, but it's quite expensive. So if I make any money from this, that's probably the first thing I'd treat myself to.
Cutting to which chase, how can we lay hands on a copy?
Well, you can buy it through Amazon. If you go onto the Amazon website and just punch in Spitfire Spies, it comes up. You can get it as a hardback or a paperback. It's available on Kindle as well. You can order it through Waterstones and WH Smith. I've just been chatting to the Redhill branch, actually, of Waterstones, hoping to actually get in stock there. So all sorts of ways.
John, as an author of non-fiction and now as a novelist, any more projects in the pipeline?
Yes, indeed. I finished novel number 2, and I'm talking to the publishers about it, but they quite rightly have said, OK, but let's see how this one goes first. But novel number 2, I think, will be of particular interest. It's not a sequel. And in a nutshell, the idea is that a certain very high-ranking Nazi, you can't get higher, pops up in Reigate in 1951. He appears as an elderly man, and the novel idea is this man really who he says he is, or is he a fantasist or a nutcase or whatever? So it's a is he or isn't he type of story.
Do we have a title yet, John?
It's called Follow My Leader.
We've got Al Stewart's Flying Sorcery, which is smack dab on for Alison Webb and the rest of your cast of characters. Who shall we play this for, John?
You could play it for my daughters, Helen and Alice, who are the dedicatees of the book. That would be much appreciated.
John Hughes, Reigate author of the newly published novel Spitfire Spies. It's been a delight chatting to you on Suzy 103.4 this afternoon.
I've thoroughly enjoyed it. Thank you, David.